Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation. We are nearing the end here, Caleb.
Yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed this book a lot, and thanks for joining us today.
You know, Nehemiah is just one of those books that when you think about it in the Bible, you just think about the wall, the rebuild the wall. But we're in a section now where we talked about it last episode about what are walls for.
Yep.
We build walls because what's important is not the barrier. What's important is what happens inside of the barrier. You know, even in our own lives, we all set different standards for ourselves to help us serve the Lord, but we shouldn't be finding our identity in the standard itself, but rather in what that enables us to do for the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 10, and last episode we talked about the true nature of separation, and the true nature of separation is not what we're separated from, mm-hmm. although that's a necessary component of it, but what we're separated unto.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think even last episode of there was a New Testament passage that was coming to my mind, and it's in Romans where the Bible says Paul was introducing himself. He said, "I'm separated unto the gospel of God." Mm. So Paul saw his life as being separated, and think about that, Caleb. He was a Pharisee. Matter of fact, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. So his whole life was about separation. That's what the word Pharisee means, separated one. But when he trusted Christ as his Savior, he viewed the other side of separation. Mm-hmm. I view it as to what God has separated me unto. And even using the same wording in Galatians 1 when he said, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So he saw himself in terms of what God had separated him unto as opposed to what God had separated him from.
Yeah. No, I think it's very important to identify both sides of the coin with separation, because sometimes I think we just think of separation as separating from, and like you said, we think about the standards and the rules, and we become very rule-oriented, and we forget the reason why we separated, and it's to separate unto. So we got to find our separation and separating unto a person.
Right. And to play devil's advocate on the other side, and separation from is important.
Yeah.
But only as we contextualize what we're separated unto. Mm-hmm. Just not doing doesn't make us a good Christian.
Exactly.
It's a matter of what are we called to. Anyway, we belabored that point long enough. In Nehemiah chapter 10, there are some specifics. So the people have now signed the covenant. Others are entering in. We have this principle of separation that's taking place. And then it's interesting to see what the big rocks are to them. Remember, we said last episode, my friends, that this recommitment to the covenant really was a recommitment to the law itself. That's not to say that what's listed at the end of chapter 10 is an addition to the law. It's not. It's just highlighting some specific areas of emphasis. That's all that's doing. So you may have come to a time in your life where you came back to the Lord in some way, shape, or form. And usually what that means is there are certain areas in your life that mm-hmm. particularly have slipped.
Yeah.
So for them, they, if you're following along in your Bible, we're in Nehemiah 10, verse 30, where the Bible says that they would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. So interestingly, Caleb, the first way that they saw separation becoming practical was in being careful about their children not marrying people that would take them away from God.
Yeah. You know, it's quite interesting. But when you think about it, it should be a huge bedrock. I mean, you think about the generational Christianity. If this Christianity is going to live on, then it needs to live on in their sons and their daughters. And relationships are vitally important. You know, you either are today or soon will become those you hang around with. And the Bible is very strong when it comes to not marrying somebody who is unsaved. Because there's a world of problems that come with that. And if the children weren't aligned with the same principles as the parents, you know, they're one generation away from being right back to the same thing, same state they were before, with walls broken down, with false worship, and things like that.
So guarding your relationship and really guarding in the rearing of your children, their friendships and ultimately their marriage choices. Verse 31, and if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell. So the next section, and we won't take time to read all the verses, but the next section just deals with their willingness to keep the Sabbath day holy. So we want to make sure that we're keeping our family holy. We want to make sure that we're keeping our business dealings, including the Sabbath observance, holy. So let's just make that general as a principle for us today. So where does holiness begin? At home.
Yep.
So for them, it began at home. Where should it then perpetuate? At work. Mm-hmm. And so we see them saying, we want to be an example of separation unto God at home, in our workplace dealings. So they're making this very practical, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, this is some major bedrocks.
It's so easy for us to make separation about everything other than the way we really live our everyday lives. And at the end of the day, separation is about my relationship with the Lord as it's evidenced in my family and in my workplace. And we find that here. So we see the family, we see the workplace, and then we see their worship place. I think last time I said their weddings,
yeah,
their work, and their worship.
Got that alliteration down.
That's right. So the rest of the chapter deals with really their commitment to the house of God.
Yeah.
Look at the last verse in the chapter, Caleb. It's verse 39, the very last part of the verse. It says, and the porters and the singers, we will not forsake the house of our God. So all the people, their big rock commitment to worship was, we want to prioritize the house of God, which for them was that temple that Zerubbabel had rebuilt and where Nehemiah had fortified the worship of God. And that meant we're going to give. So they reinstituted kind of a tax, a yearly tax to help the Levites. And then they recommitted their tithe to take care of the priests. It's interesting there in verse 38. Look at that, Caleb. We're in Nehemiah 10:38 for those that are following along. It says, the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God. So God was expecting not only the people to give 10% of their increase, but he expected the Levites that were receiving the tithes to give 10% of the tithe they received. That's the tithe of the tithes. You won't remember this, Caleb, but when I first went to Harvest Baptist Church years ago in Pennsylvania, they had the offering envelope system. Some of you listeners, maybe you give your offering through an envelope. I give online now, but back in the day. And I went to that church, and of course, I wanted to be a faithful giver to the church. So the very first week, I put an offering in the in an envelope and put in the offering plate. Well, that afternoon, that money was back on my desk. And then the next week, I gave that money plus what I, you know, what my giving was for the next week.
Yeah.
And all of that money was back on my desk.
Huh.
And then the next week, I did the same thing. And again, all the money was back on my desk. I thought, what is going on? Don't these people believe that the pastor should give too? So I went to one of the deacons and I said to him, listen, I'm trying to give this offering, and somebody who's counting the money, one of you deacons, just keeps on putting the money back on my desk. Am I not allowed to give? And he laughed. He said, oh, the corner of the envelope, I hadn't received offering envelopes yet. Mm-hmm. So I just put in little writing in the corner of the envelope, Skelly. Like that, you know, so for tax purposes, right. Yeah. And they assumed somebody was giving Skelly the money. Oh, if Caleb, if I had never said anything,
right.
Think about
all
how much
these
money
years.
I would have saved. And of course, that's not my heart, but no, it was a tithe of the tithes. So think mm-hmm. the pastor is really receiving compensation based upon the good giving of God's people. Well, mm-hmm. That doesn't exempt him from also being generous and giving to the Lord's work. That's yeah. the principle. The principle is this. Everybody has received all of our income. All of our blessings are from God.
Right.
So all of us should want to give and support the house of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good that they set out in this new covenant. Just, you know, nobody's exempt from this. Everybody, like you said, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And that these Levites, even though they were set aside as special in the culture from the sense that they were set apart and they were different, but even they themselves, they had an obligation to God's house and to the worship of God.
Yeah, and particularly is that important for someone working in the house of God, because when we cease to sense individual giving, like somehow I have a special status or yeah. I don't have to sacrifice, you know, this is my service, that's going to affect my own heart.
Yeah.
Because giving in the Bible is always related to heart. Where your treasure is, there will your
heart
be also, right? Yeah. So we see that even in this passage. So my friends, I would say to you, when it comes to separation, keep it positive. We're separated unto God, mm-hmm. our service of God, and then keep it practical. So separation unto God is going to show up in your relationships. It did for them. It's going to show up in your workplace. It did for them. And it's going to show up in your commitment to the house of God, both in your service, your giving, your attitude, all of that. So what would appear, Caleb, to be kind of a nondescript passage in the mm-hmm. Old Testament about some of these Levitical gifts and duties and laws really serves as a great principle even for us today.
Right.
So that's it, my friends. We're going to let you go just a minute or two early today. Appreciate you joining us. Means a lot to me. We're looking forward to jumping into chapter 11 tomorrow. Hope you'll join us again. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.